up a seat at the bar to join us for another episode of McAnally's Pubcast, a podcast exploring the fun and fantastical mind of Jim Butcher's The Dresden Files series. Host Tanzen, Maggie, and me bring you another round of literary analysis on this immense, immersive, and colorful environment inhabited by Harry Dresden, the world's only licensed private investigator and professional wizard. Join an active and engaged community of new and die-hard dedicated fans focused on the fabulous themes, theories, characters, context, lore, and more. This is McAnally's Dresden Files Pubcast by Free Flow Rambling. Conjure by it at your own risk.
Welcome to the McAnally's Pubcast, brought to you by Free Flow Rambling. This is episode 19.3, Cthunes, where we are covering the graphic novel Downtown. My name is Tanzen, and I'm joined by Maggie.
Hello, hello.
And Jess.
Venus is the only planet in our solar system that spins clockwise on its axis.
Dun, dun, dun.
Issue 5. Harry and his group confront the master of the golem and are able to defeat him. They discover the altar that controls where the attacks are directed and find out the next one will be at the children's hospital. I'm going to try to make a concerted effort to lay off some of the hate for this series. I know, I realized afterwards, yes. I was like, grumble, and it's not terrible now that I've had some time to sort of sit with the thoughts that this is to introduce new people, and that's how I'm going to look at it.
Yeah.
It's not for diehard fans, because there's just too many holes to poke.
Yeah, yeah, if it's for the Dresden Files itself, it's weak. It doesn't really matter. And, I mean, honestly, if we skip this, it would have literally no bearing on the rest of the story. The only relevance to me about this is just to show, again, Mark Cohn and Molly being more
involved
in the world. And even then, I'm like, whatever, the next book still does that. A lot of that anyways. So.
Yeah, I was going to say, like you say, yeah, we see a little bit more of Molly's training and advancement kind of a thing. And yeah, Mark Cohn's entrenchment into
some character development.
But yeah.
Yes, if somebody were to walk up to Jim Butcher and offer him to do 6 graphic novels and he had to throw them somewhere, this might as well be one.
Yes. And I like you say, yeah, for those. I mean, but like graphic novels, it's probably, yes, as good a story as any for that kind of.
Right. And even in terms of like this first panel here where it gives the characters, like I'm beyond Molly's posture, like the women's posture, like I'm okay with this image representing her. Mark Cohn's even okay. I think he probably, his face needs to be softened up a little bit if he's supposed to be everyone's favorite uncle slash sort of a soccer coach sort of a look. He looks a little bit too angular, but that could also just be the style of comics showing, you know, the differences between women and men have to
I was
sort of extreme.
Yeah. The men are always very boxy and square and angular, and it's kind of funny because I mean, like you say, as far as what that character is, Mark Cohn, yeah, sure, he looks like sort of a mobster godfather guy, but yeah, he just does not mesh with my Mark Cohn.
Yeah,
but and even yeah, Molly is like, again, she's like, yes, not massively off of like, oh, you know what? It was so funny. What was I watching? Dollhouse. I've been rewatching, which was the Annalisa Dushku series.
It's a bad series.
Yeah, well, the second season
goes bonkers.
Yes.
And like the fact that they had like released everything in out of order fashion.
Yeah, I haven't got that. I'm almost at the end of the first season kind of a thing. But it was really interesting because one of the handlers was, and I'm like, I know that. Who is, I'm like, I recognize the name, Valerie Cruz. And it finally clicked. I was about to go look it up.
Bianca.
Murphy.
Oh.
Not Bianca. It was the one that played Murphy.
I haven't done a rewatch of Dollhouse, so that would.
Yeah. And
now that I've actually
she's not much
finished.
In. Yeah, it's like, you know, episode 9 of the first season, and she's like a handler for a few. I don't know if we'll see her again or not, kind of. But yeah, it was not very. But it was just from like something, right? I was like, oh, like the face and the speech. I'm like, it was just nagging, and it suddenly. But yes, not like that. It's not like it's a complete opposite where the Susan is small and blonde and the Murphy is dark-haired and, yeah. You know, I was like... Anyways, that was all. I just thought was kind of funny when she popped up. I was like, oh, hey! So, yeah, so everybody is found there. They found the lair of the dude.
Bad Santa.
Bad Santa.
There is some confirmation here that this guy knows about the White Council, mm-hmm. and he knows he's breaking the laws, and he just doesn't care, which, I mean, actually is a fair point, because a lot of this graphic novel before that seems like he may even just be outside of that knowledge. He's just literally a crazy guy just running around
the sewers of Chicago.
Yeah. It just vaguely seems like just out of nowhere he got power, rather than he's always been vaguely evil in some capacity and just hasn't, you know, stepped on any toes in Chicago that we care about yet, but...
Yeah, I made that note, too, that he's mostly up on his current events, like the fact that he does know that, like, there is a war between the vampires and... But the only thing is that he doesn't actually give a shit. He's not invested enough to care whether or not the White Council...
Which way he's going.
...is still... Because he's like, oh, you're not dead yet?
Yeah. It's almost, to me, almost like a little bit of, like, a Gollum kind of, like... The beginning of this, just the way he's talking to himself and nothing seems to make sense and we don't know. You know, it's almost just like he's been down in these tunnels for God knows how long in the dark by himself. You know what I mean? Like, it's almost that sort of just like out of... And then all of a sudden, yeah, he's like, oh, the White Council and oh, this and Homer Cohn's... You know, and you're like, whoa, wait, what? You do actually, you know? It's like, I thought you were just kind of literally
so
off in your own world.
Completely checked out, which makes his sort of reasoning for doing... Like, because he's aware of... He's not crazy enough to...
Which makes him all the more confusing because you're like,
his motivation's a little bit more crazier, though.
Yeah, if you were like, if you were just completely random and there was no rhyme or reason, then you're like, okay, that's why nothing made... But now you're like, oh, but you do have rhyme and reason, but there's also no, so...
No, absolutely. There's no indication that it was Marcone becoming the Baron that tipped him off, but I'm happy to take that as an excuse because there's literally no other reason. I'm like, where did you come from and why do you care all of a sudden?
Yeah, it doesn't really have a lot of reason.
Marcone just declared Chicago his, and now some random crazy this whole time has been like, Chicago's mine, Chicago's mine. What?
As most as we can tell, he's referred to as a sorcerer, which may or may be incorrect usage of the term because I think that was like Marcone that mentions
it. I would say Harry mostly classifies sorcerers as one bit gambit. Evil?
One trick ponies?
Right. Yeah, like...
Is it warlocks that are, like, fully
warlocks
evil?
Are, like, White Council defined black magic or whatever like that. Harry says sorcerers are, like, generally, like, they've got some sort of skill, but they're not as robust as a wizard. They're not as
trained or
knowledgeable.
They're not as well-rounded and,
Which would kind of be incorrect because this guy seems to have a wallop amount of power because he's just...
So
Harry's trying to throw spells at him, and he's just like, whatever.
More of like a therapist and a psychologist or something. You know, like psychologists are like the White Council. They're the training. They can do everything. Whereas the therapists are like, okay, I know how to deal with like this problem. You know, I mean,
see, I would not be able to do that definition. I don't know what the fucking difference is between the two.
Warlocks are the whole shebang.
Okay.
They just do it for evil.
So there is a hierarchy with those
sorcerers,
terms.
Sorcerers, do not have as many tricks in their bag, but are generally also not good.
Right. Well, and I was just looking at terms of magic use, because Bad Santa here seems to sort of throw around magic like it doesn't affect him, and he sort of makes fun of
He doesn't
Harry.
Whine about it like Harry
he's
does.
Like,
he doesn't
He's like, you're supposed to be the protector, but you're like losing all your magic, whatever. And the only thing that actually kills him is physical attacks, not magic.
Yeah.
That's why I take him as having more of the sorcerer. It's not necessarily all his power. He's getting it from somewhere else, so he can throw out a bunch of it, but he's not actually in control of everything.
Oh, so more like Stormfront with harnessing.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, okay. Or like, you know, like the alphas, they can just turn into werewolves and that's it. You know, like he can turn on and turn off a golem and he can, you know, throw power at it, but he's not as like Harry where you're like, Harry technically has whatever he can think of at his disposal, technically to a point,
technically,
obviously.
Obviously.
Whereas this guy might be like, yeah, he can do a lot of destructive power, but he's kind of limited to that only.
Because he's got golem, he's got a shield, and he's also got this gravity spell So he's got at least three.
I have no proof that he's got some sort of benefactor. I'm just like, again, like he's kind of come out of nowhere. So it's like,
yeah. Assume that he's not some.
And we don't ever actually get any indication of.
And we'll never know.
And now he's dead, so. Until, like, 7 books from now, and there'll be, like, some mention of this guy he battled in Undertown. He'll be like, oh, that's who that was!
Sometimes you just
That was my answers. Father, you asshole! I'm gonna get you!
That was great Uncle Jimmy!
Remember that time you killed a homeless man in the sewers, and you're like, no? And they were like, how dare you?
Now I'm gonna kill you twice. He wasn't even worth your acknowledgement.
Harry's like literally never even learned that guy's name.
But it is, I mean, again, I know that's the whole point of the thing, but again, it's one of those things that's just funny with, like, I was just saying, like, oh, Harry, again, from our perspective, every time Harry slings out his spell, he's like, whew, I'm tired, and then he does, like, some big thing, he's like, I'm exhausted, I can't move anymore, but I have to, whereas, like you say, all the bad guys are just, like, block, throw a volcano on top of your head, block, you know?
Okay, we've talked about this before, I think that was Ebenezer, like, purposely implanting safeguards to Harry Dresden. He's like, you are your magic, okay? The way you use your magic is important, okay? He's like, you feel tired, Harry, after you throw a big spell. Please don't wipe out the wizarding world, okay? You're feeling very sleepy every time you cast magic.
I like that.
Right. That was the, yeah, psychological kill switch.
It's like the exact opposite of, what's a plant? Sleeper. Yeah, exact opposite of a sleeper agent. Don't worry, guys. If he ever goes crazy, I just gotta snap and he's gonna go to bed. This one's called Cleaning the Chicken Pen, Harry.
Nice. Well, we get confirmation in the first few pages of this particular novel is that, well, Bad Santa is pretty strong, and so is the golem because it just, you know, knocks Mouse's attack away.
Yeah, the nerve. Can't pick on the dog.
So we've got some pretty strong opposition.
Yes, they're not lightweights. They actually are going to take some quote-unquote defeating.
You got this
by Harry and Molly and Mouse and Marcone.
Poor liquor store owner that he's just running around in a panic going, oh, fuck, oh, fuck, oh, fuck, oh, fuck, oh, fuck.
He's actually the only one in this series that I like a new character introduced.
I was going to say, he's actually kind of funny he kind of does work well for, because again, I'm like, so often in these things and they're like, I'm not giving, and I'm like, this guy is very real in that sense. He's like, I don't know what the fuck is going on. Guy ordered me, like, gave me a drink and is not killing me right. I'm going to take the drink die right now.
That's genuinely fair.
Okay, yeah, he's like, oh, he turned around and is all like rambling about, I'm going to run out the back door here.
I've seen enough movies to know that I want the villain speech to go on for as long as possible.
And I'm gonna take, so I'm like, that way, exactly. I was like, he is just very like, I don't fucking know what's going on. As opposed to, I was like, well, I mean, just gonna, I'm like, he's not being stupidly obstinate and fighting the good guys coming to rescue him. And he's not like just suddenly taking on all this evil he's never experienced before.
He gives me early Butters. Still chicken shit, but still, by the time he gets to the end of it, but does just enough to stand up to give himself a boost.
Now, if we could all direct our attention to the page where it is him explaining himself to Marcone and Molly, and Molly's about to start the veil.
Calm down, we're here to help you. This talented young woman is Miss Carpenter.
No. It's like the page after the shrine.
No, one more.
Oh, so they've already... She's already done the veil and...
She's, like, about to start.
Okay.
It's, like, the very top is... I was able to bond with him. He's insane. I just tried to...
You both see that? Yep. Yeah, where we were just mentioning. He's, kissed his ass to stay alive.
All right. Yep. So that's a little bit further. Okay.
Yeah, there, that one.
There.
So, very bottom left panel. She goes to touch him, and Marcone's like, no! He looks contagious as fuck.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go... Another, dozen or so pages, and Harry's just, patting him on the back, rubbing his shoulder, giving him a speech, being like, hey, man, I'm gonna get you out of this. I got you, okay? Life is gonna be hard from here on out now that you know about the supernatural, but I'm with you till the end. And I'm like, okay, well, Harry, you're definitely gonna die now. You're also contagious then, stupid.
So, see, here's the kicker to that. Marcone is like, first of all, that's fine. If this wipes out Harry, then...
Yeah, 100%.
Like, oh, no, Molly, don't go. Like, oops, Harry accidentally touched. Well, maybe that.
Well.
Or again, it's the typical, once again, we're reinforcing Harry's immortality. The fact it doesn't matter.
It's called plot armor, okay? I can't die. I'm the main character.
Right. His genes are just going to keep copying back at 100%. So eventually, this life-threatening contagious, he'll get over it. It's fine.
Don't you think wizards should have, they just keep replacing their, things so fast that they're going to eventually get ahead of themselves if they're not getting beat?
Mutated like a cancer almost.
Yeah, they should be infecting themselves with cancer just to give the gene something to work on so that they don't start mutating themselves. That's why he's like, we all have warts and things like that, or used to.
Now we just can't do it. Yeah, I was like, I don't know. Or maybe not. Maybe they're all waiting for their X-Men days. Harry's like, I can shoot laser beams out my eyeballs, but it exhausts me. If I can just automatically do that and then also do all my cool
wizards. Perfect. Okay. Anyway.
So speaking of that same panel, I wanted to see if that children's hospital, the Lurie Children's Hospital was a real place, because I don't know. And then the first image that I looked at was exactly the same as the comic.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Like, it was, quite literally, and because I have the comic next to my notes, and I just had to screenshot them next to it, because that's the one that they use on Wikipedia
nice.
To describe it. And it's quite literally even the same angle
Like, yeah, yeah, it is. I'm looking at what you got up there, and yeah, that's crazy. Yeah, so it definitely is a real place.
It's a real place, and they did a good job recreating it.
It exists as is.
They're like, what's the first picture we find? Oh, there it is.
Even the exact number of windows is correct. Good job.
Yeah, it's very accurate.
Yep.
They even have the like shadow
is incorrect. The reflections are correct. Yeah. Yeah. So this is the exact photo they went off.
You know, yeah, I was going to say, you know which model, that, which, yeah, reference.
So after finding this voodoo throne thing and the next intended target, which is this hospital, Marcone decides that he's going to man up, save, and he tells Molly, keep this guy safe. I'm going to make this go away.
Okay, this is where graphic novels are good. Okay, fight scenes. It's fun to see that depicted. All the lots of, like, the slashing and the hitting and the special effects that you get to draw and the power being shot at one another. Like, that's
so
great.
Much easier to see.
That looks really fun.
Yes.
Again, guys, we're in an already close to collapsed tunnel under the city of Chicago. It's just not really a safe place to be doing this. An open field probably is safer. I mean,
au contraire, have you seen the size of this thing?
Right, but if you hit the ceiling, all of Chicago's coming down.
And they do it. Acknowledge
you hit a structural, integral part of the system.
But that's what I mean. It's like you gotta lob that thing, like, you know, 2 miles before it's hitting the ceiling. So really, your odds are like, yeah, it's worse because of, but yes, no, once again.
It's kind of like airport hangar size is what it looks like in these diagrams.
Yeah. Yeah, right. But yes, again, one of those realities, not realities. Don't look too close at the, yeah. Oh, yes. Oh, no, we're going to bring the whole thing down. Harry can't blow out this thing. But meanwhile, we'll have the bad guy, like, right, tossing power every 5 seconds and blowing up the hole.
And perspectives are kind of also, but it's hard to say because if this guy's human, he is massive, because, like, I noticed when Marcone comes and stabs in the back, he grabs Marcone by his forearm, and his hand is literally the size of Marcone's entire
forearm. I was gonna say,
forearm.
He's a very stout, stocky,
so,
like,
is
broad
he human?
Kind
is
of
he not? Ancient. Is he some kind of part ogre? Like, what? It's really unclear if he is human.
Because otherwise, when you see him, he doesn't look, like, particularly tall or imposing that way. So yeah, I don't know if he is just very, like, they say he's kind of a squat, beefy kind of. And again, some of that I think is artistic license with a graphic novel. But yeah, I think too, right?
That's, like, that's massive. Like, if you put your own hand over your forearm, now increase your hand size so it fits your entire forearm. And this is a man-sized forearm.
Yeah, but I mean, like, hey, Sam, I'm like, I can
get my hand
like,
almost. This is like what Erwin's going to grow into.
He could be Scion of some sort.
Yeah. I mean, again, we don't know that there's, but yeah, I'm just saying
to me, there's some indication that he's not entirely human. Because of just the sheer size of his extremities and the way he looks.
Yeah, and it could, and again, I don't know if it's that or just, like I say, sort of the way he is.
And the fact is that he got stabbed through the back, and the sword goes through his chest, and he still has the fortitude to throw Marcone over his and keep going.
But he's also
with the sword sticking out of it.
Crazy bad guy sorcerer, so that's kind of par for the course. Everybody in books and movies.
That seems a little bit more than just like adrenaline to me.
I concur, but everybody in books and movies gets stabbed through the chest and then runs around for 5 more scenes causing mayhem. So, you know, again.
But, okay, if you are a Harkonnen Mary shipper.
Oh, yeah, I forgot what I called it. Yeah.
I don't remember what we called it. Anyway,
if you like
ship Harry and Preston,
can we do like a Dracone?
No.
That's very. Oh, come on.
Dracone's kind of cool, but.
Right? Come on.
But it's very. It just sounds so close to Harry and Draco, but it's so romantic for a couple of panels here. When Marcone hits the ground and Harry's standing over him, and then Harry's like crouching over him, and then the next page when he's like,
cradling him in his
arms. He's cradling Marcone.
I will never let you go.
Yeah. Like, got him grasped twice.
Or in the next, and we'll get to the next episode or the next issue where he's like, no, where he thinks he's dead.
It's just, yeah, I'm like, oh my God, Harry.
Harry's like, I don't really, it's just on principle, okay? I would care if any human suddenly died and just,
It's just like,
not that it's Marcone.
Harry's excuse, of course, is, you know, the devil you know, and Marcone is holding back a lot of other enemies, but one day I'm going to get his ass, and it's so funny because he's just like, a lot of other people actually have tried to get Marcone, and you keep stopping them.
Yeah, right.
Ryan, this would be an easy fix. He's like, now that you're out of my way,
on me.
Well, I can fix the rest of this without you being in my way.
Which is like funny because, I mean, they both say that about each other every once in a while, right? He's like, I don't need to do you because some other thing's going to come along and kill you. But then, yeah, I'm like, but since your guys is now 50% of the time, you are the thing saving him from that something. That would have killed him, Marcone. You could have just been like, oh, Harry's gone.
But I'm sure, you know, Marcone totally is like, no. I'm happy with my morally gray wizard. Don't send somebody here who's actually good at their job.
And that too, I was going to say, it does make more sense, I think, coming from Marcone a lot of the time, because he definitely has it better set up with.
He's like, oh no, but Harry Dresden, who I can sometimes talk into my side.
Yeah, and all I have to do is pay for like extra trash cans and building glass. You know, I have to replace the windows every time he comes. But yeah, exactly. I was like, I think he's more so that way that he is. But yeah, it's just funny, like you say, where Harry's like, I'm just going to wait. Someday something's going to wipe you out and it'll serve you right. You could have let a lot of things wipe him out, Harry.
Yeah, there's no witnesses here either.
Exactly. That this too. Is the perfect excuse. He's literally just like, Marcone never heard of him.
But again, Butcher has set it up. Well,
once that ceiling came down, he was under that.
Sorry.
You guys dropped down.
I definitely was not holding him down and pinning him under
I forgot Hendrix and Guard both saw them come down together. Officially.
But they're not seeing what goes down.
No, I'm saying officially Harry maybe couldn't be held responsible. I think he'd disappear, though.
Oh,
Marcone didn't come home.
Right.
Hendrix and Guard would be like, oh, hi, Harry. Oh, bye, Harry.
Yes.
Remember that convenient grave plot Bianca set up for you? Let's go test it out.
But yeah, I'm going to say Butcher at least has done well of making Marcone the kind of character that he is, where it is good to have him in place.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, he's the scummy bad guy, but
I'm reading this book series right now, and the author does such a bad job of justifying her character's choices. Like, every time they do anything, I'm like, why the fuck are they doing that? You established 2 books ago that they would never do that.
Yeah.
But now it's just like, and it just drives me up the wall.
Oh, but now I need to because the plot calls for it. So.
And it's driving me up the wall, and I keep reading it anyways because, it's so trashy. I got to go through it.
Right.
But yeah, but it actually annoys me so often, especially because this is one of those ones where you have, like, a team of people. So it could very easily just make somebody else do it who would be more, like, morally gray or not against it. But it'll literally be the person who was like, on my life, I will never do this. And again, sometimes that does work when they're, like, backed into a corner. But that's not the situation in this case at all.
Yeah.
They just do it. I'm just like, do you even know the characters you
again,
wrote?
Again, like, that has to be, like, you're a certain, like, whatever.
Right? Like, the justifications just don't work for me ever. So I'm like, I come back to something like this for Jim Butcher, where I'm like, thank God, somebody who actually cares about why the fuck anyone's doing anything.
Yes, and, yeah, either coming up with a really good reason to make their character break it, or Butcher will be like, I need somebody else to come in. I need a bad Santa to, like, hide out and live in the sewers. He will give it to somebody else to make that thing where Harry doesn't or whatever, but.
Okay, magic gun.
I thought at first it was when Harry's trapped under this gravity thing that it was, like, him, because he's been practicing the telekinetic stuff with Molly.
That
it was him at first, and then it was, like, it dawned on me. It was like, oh, no, it's him being proud of the Padawan.
Yeah, that would have been a cool moment, but, since we have Molly here, we don't need Harry to do it, but it would have been otherwise cool. I'm sure if it was a novel, Harry would be like, since I've been forced to go back to basics.
Right. Shows him leveling up a little bit more, but it's this, like you stated prior and I stated prior, that it's about character development for the side characters at this point, which is Molly. He's showing off just how freaking talented she is. And we also get sort of a repeat on just how important it is to keep in your wizardry tools conventional attacks that are non-magical, like guns,
because
that's what finally...
Yep. Gets him. Gets
headshot, which, like...
Because she just scoots it.
Or chest shot, it's hard to tell. Like, it looks like it's going, you know...
She just scoots it over so he can reach it, right?
Yeah, it kind of looks like coming, I think, under the chin. It is a little hard to tell, but there's, like, a hole vaguely at the beard level.
It is, however, effective.
Yep.
It does take him out, so I'm assuming it's a headshot.
At the same time... Or wait, did Marcone leave the knife in him, or is he just, like...
Oh, and the knife is still in him. If you look at the next panel where he's
dead, I kind of thought that was Marcone coming back at him, and I was like, oh, Marcone just left it in him.
Because he got tossed over the shoulder. Although he does take it out at the bottom.
Yeah, he's got to get
his shit
back.
I'm going to take this back.
I was going to say, you can. They do. Because a couple of points, I'm like, it's not there. But I'm like,
reduce, reuse, and recycle.
You have to use a little bit, or look a little bit. But yes, it is still in him the entire time after he, and then,
And I'm happy for Molly, because this is a very quick level up to suddenly, like, murder now. Where, you know, you had to see a bunch of dead bodies, but now you've been implicitly involved in a murder.
Not implicitly, explicitly. Implicit is just implied.
You've been explicitly involved in a murder.
She's been complicit in a murder.
Yeah.
But that is different, though. Again, she hasn't performed the murder.
Is it different? I'm not talking about from a legal sense. I'm talking about Molly breaking down from just a small thing she's been exposed to already. And thinking in the end of last book, maybe don't tell me everything, Harry. Maybe I don't need to know everything. And then Harry being like, all right, let's go kill a guy.
And hey. Vomiting at every kind of grody.
Who knows if she might not turn around and vomit from this too, even if it's not. I'm just saying, like, again, there is still, again, she is in this situation, which, again, is the catalyst, excuse, whatever, for a lot of these things. You, me, you, we're not generally going around murdering anybody. Were we in a fight for our life? Presumably.
Listen, I get adrenaline and all that shit, okay? I'm just saying, coming off of the last book where she was like, you know what? It was bad enough sitting in the car and hearing it and now getting some of the recap now. Arctis Tor was scary enough, knowing about the damages I did to my friends there. Running around just looking at these dead bodies and feeling their last moments, to then now be like, okay, like actual combat and murder and death and...
I get what you're saying, but in the moment with being, you know, again, I'm like, I don't see it necessarily as big a stretch of her head. Yeah, her actually doing it would be a bigger, her being like, okay, Harry, here, yes, take the gun, you go kill the thing.
We're also sort of in the constraints of a shorter format that we can't put every nuance on. And like you said before, with the novels, where she might actually have just like, once they had a moment to recoup, be like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, I helped you kill this guy. But we don't have that. We don't have the time for it.
Yes.
They don't have the time for it in the constraints of just the story.
Yeah.
But you are right. She is slowly desensitizing.
Or not so slowly as the case may be, I guess, is Jessica's point.
Okay.
Very rapidly. But anyways, yes, point being is they have... Okay, but this I kind of don't understand either, because all of a sudden they're all like, are you okay? I will be. Good thing we practiced. What the shit? She's like, but the sorcerer... So the golem's taking off, and she's like, but the sorcerer is dead. And he's like, yes, and that should have rendered the thing inert. So, correct me if I'm wrong, but back when this started, when he tells the story of the Maharal or whatever that called this thing, wasn't the whole point that he lost control of the thing and it just went off and did its own thing?
Yeah.
So why are they suddenly surprised that now they've broken the thing and now this thing is like not being controlled and it's about to go off and do its own thing?
In the story that I looked up, it was just like the thing went crazy because it wasn't shut down at the end of the night like it was supposed to be.
Right.
And so then he just went berserk on his own. But the priest himself never died or anything
like
that.
It was like a toddler left unattended, so he just went and made mischief on his own.
Yeah.
So once you imbue it with energy, it's got its energy and it does what it needs to do.
I guess maybe that's the...
Which makes sense for defensive purposes, because it gives the spellcaster a moment to fall asleep if he needs to.
Well, yeah, I mean, if you can just set it on a task, of course. But regardless of that, before we run after a golem, we have to murder a man.
I don't know. There was kind of a good line, though, earlier, wherever exactly. I think it's when they're sort of first talking to him, though. And the sorcerer guy says, or Harry, somebody says something about, like, the choice, you know, like, I don't want to die, I wouldn't choose, or whatever. And he's like, of course, choice and death rarely coincide. It's like, that was actually pretty good.
Yeah, touche.
I was like, I like that one.
So we end this with Marcone deciding that, well, yeah, now that Bad Santa's done, this guy needs to die too, because, well, we find out next issue.
Thank you to our Patreon subscribers for your generous support. It's people like you who help us to do what we do. If you're not yet a Patreon subscriber, sign up today and get a fuck ton of bonus content, kick-ass merch, behind-the-scenes outtakes, and more. Sign up today at www.patreon.com/freeflowrambling.
Issue 6. Marcone insists on killing the infected hostage, but Harry convinces him otherwise. In a daring move, Marcone switches himself for the target instead of the children's hospital. The group fight off the newly redirected golem. Unexpectedly, the hostage is able to delay the monster in order for Harry and Marcone to dispatch it in an explosive finish.
So yes, interestingly enough, after spending this whole time tracking them down and saying, Harry, don't get involved, I'm going to handle it, and trapping himself in Undertown with Harry, and Marcone is like, oh, this dude, I'm like, I swear I will get you out of here, you get paid for protection, that's what you're going to get, oh, no, I'm going to kill you, dude, sorry, bro. Like, oh, Which I guess is why Marcona's Marcona and not Harry.
Well, he's weighed the scales. And yeah. This protects the rest of the people who paid him.
Yeah, so obviously. But I don't know, it begs to...
It's pretty cut and dried for him, because, like, and if we look at the drawings, he is... Yeah, the man is pretty mucousy.
Awful and gross. I know, it looks like his face is, like, melting off like a
This is where it's getting weird for
me,
because... It's like a
scene from Indiana Jones.
Yeah.
Setting aside the morals and ethics of it, Marcone is actually the one in a position to be able to help this man. He's got the money. He could set up biohazard and get the right doctors and,
I was going to say, like, you don't really know, like, exactly isolate him and find out if it's curable. Or just isolate
him. Yeah, just like Marcone has the means to do it if he wanted to, right? He's just very pragmatic, and he's like, but why? When I could just kill him and leave him down here.
And again, I do it for this guy. All of a sudden, everybody's going to be coming to me and be like,
I'm just saying, if I'm paying for protection.
Oh, I see that.
And you get me infested by a golem who's mad at you, I damn well expect you to pay my fucking medical bills, motherfucker.
That's fair, that's true.
You did not read the fine print of our contract.
I understand it's a criminal organization. You don't get health benefits. However,
if protecting you costs more than $250,000, then you're still on your own.
I'm not paying a regular, not that he knows this, but I'm not paying some regular schmuck for protection. I'm paying some guy enshrined in the supernatural to protect me from the supernatural, and I'm getting beat up and poisoned by the supernatural. I damn well expect you to come and help me.
Yes.
I mean, it's hard to sort of gauge, too, because in Marcone's mind, they don't know that they're going to survive the golem at all at this period. And so if this guy gets away while they're trying to fight the golem, that does mean everybody else is going to be infected. So this is
my
very
God, it could be a worldwide
prudent.
Pandemic.
Yeah.
But so is this the point? Because the guy seemed, I don't know, I sort of felt like Bad Santa was like just planning and wanting to kill. I mean, again, he just straight up killed the other couple of people. So, was this his long-term plan? Like, was this guy supposed to get, right, were the other two just to draw enough attention so that Marcone or whoever would come and rescue? I mean, like, it feels like you couldn't have done it. You could have infected him without...
Well, he said that he changed his tactics, and then that's when this guy comes in, I think, and is his, like, message.
Is that where you feel more...
But then, at the very end, Harry says that he was probably going to be sent out so he could just end up controlling people, because one of his issues was that people were challenging his...
Authority.
His authority.
I guess, because I was just like, I feel like you keep threatening to kill him, but you haven't killed him.
Well,
and then if he's infected,
Santa.
It's obvious he has to get back.
Was
up
also
to
drinking it, right? Drink the juice.
Or
the juice.
He, again, is immune to, you know, if it's his own crazy concoction that he is, or magically, or...
I don't.
I guess
you
have to look back and see if he actually does. Or just hands it off, try this.
Yeah, no, I think he did.
I think he was drinking from it. I mean, it's hard to tell. It's not a movie. It is just drawing, so it's like...
I was gonna say, I'm pretty sure I got the impression that Bad Santa drank it too, but doesn't... Or he could have just poisoned his... Maybe it's not the drink so much as something he put in his drink, but regardless, yes, I was just like, I don't know, why is this guy suddenly... I feel like you were going to kill him, but that's pointless, because if you're infecting him, you have to get him back up into population to release him, but in which case they would have to successfully rescue... I don't know. I just, again, either I'm missing something, or it just seems like there's bits and pieces here that don't quite
gel. I think
he's
part of a contingency plan. I think he changed his plans because he was being...
Well, maybe that's
questioned,
all it is.
And so this is, since you guys aren't following me like I think you should, this guy is going to make sure that... He goes out there, infects
maybe
everybody, and now I get to dictate my will.
The world, maybe. But either way, Harry pops him in a bubble, so he becomes the boy in the not-so-plastic bubble.
He looks pretty fucking terrible.
Well, we take a minute I was going to say, that's the other thing about the graphic novel aspect of like some of the depictions are just like
I don't need to remember that part.
Yeah, I'm like, I get it, it's effective for what it is, but yes, the way you draw someone like being all snotty and mucousy, and it just looks like their face is like peeling
melting
off and like boils and like a melted, yes. Anyways, as you say, and again, you're right, it does appear to be a different throne. I still think it's crazy that the shrine is so much throne-like and in many ways very similar to his actual chair throne thing.
God forbid somebody has a fucking style.
Yeah, I don't get the choice. I'm
or
sorry.
Or more than
I
one chair.
Yeah, I maybe that's it. He's like lacking in a bunch of others. He's like, all I have is like these three or four like fucking thrones.
He's like,
down
I made
here,
this
so
throne, it's really uncomfortable, so I'm going to make myself a new one. But what do I do with the old one?
Oh, I put so much work and effort, it can't go to waste. I'll just. Yeah. He just makes a sacrificial altar.
Now, with all of Harry's spell crafting and potion making, Being able to just switch out a single photo on an altar just like that seems so cheaty to
me. Again, I'm like, yeah, if you program this thing and it's off on that same thing, I feel like there would have been more work that went into
like, Harry,
that's
could you
all you got
licensed
do?
With a little bit of magic first or something like that.
Yeah, literally, that's all you have to do is just like, oops, sorry guys, wrong projector. It's like when your teacher slaps down the wrong thing on the. Yeah. Oh my gosh.
It does draw a parallel to Harry, though, that Marcone is able to put himself as the target, because this is classic Harry maneuvering.
Well, now, to be fair, we do have a precedence for that. You know, when Marcone came to do the extraction on Harry in the last book, and he was like, you fucking paid for an extraction, so I'm fucking sticking with you, Harry. Like, he puts himself in the thing. He doesn't just send...
I shouldn't say that it sets the precedence, but this is another example of how... Like, Harry isn't the only one that decides that he's going to self-sacrifice himself.
Well, like you said, the parallel
before...
what he
thinks is what he needs to do.
Marcone, he does fucking walk the walk.
Yeah.
Yes, which is why he is, again, as effective.
So they're quite similar. It's like, he gets mad about how... But to me, they're very, very... Yeah, like I said, parallel characters. Yeah. There's just Marcone is just
you. Just go back to book
slightly
one.
More on the other end of that darker gray area.
Mm-hmm. Hey, the Dracones out there know exactly what you're talking about. Mm-hmm.
And had he managed to convince Harry and Stormfront to just be on his side and work with him, and there would have probably been no guard, and it would have just been the two of them. They could have been
right.
Holy shit, Chicago would have been a very different place.
That is
true. Harry committed
to working with right from the start.
Yeah. I mean, even when Marcone was saying like, you don't even have to work for me, I'm gonna basically pay you to fuck off and not work for anyone at all. But
whatever, whether it's a cheap cop-out or totally works with the play of rules in this universe, I don't know.
I'd love to meet somebody like that in the actual novels, where Harry, like, goes to some sort of magical person and be like, I need help. And he's like, sorry, Marcone pays me to shut the fuck up. And they'd be like, what? Then you gotta go to Marcone and be like, can you fucking tell your guy to talk? What the hell?
Dude, I need this.
Maybe that's the point of Mirror Mirror. This is actually the...
I would love that. That would be amazing, actually. I would actually really enjoy that.
So many apps, so many things you could do with that.
I hope Mirror Mirror is 2,000 pages long.
I was just gonna say, like, you literally can do like a little.
It's like basically every single book.
And short story and graphic novel. Just give it to us all.
I already know based on interviews where the first.
Spoiler
convergent
free,
happens
completely, yeah.
But even still, I'm like, come on, Jim Butcher, you don't have to stick to that.
Do the whole,
let's just do it all again. Why not?
It's just rewriting the rules.
When we eventually catch up to the end of this podcast, let's just start over again.
Oh my god, I should just say, oh my god, this could totally be a thing. So I get, again, you don't want to do the whole jump the shark thing and stuff like that, right? Like, yeah, I don't want to see this series go on so long that we're like, oh my god. So I get, and again, 20 books is pretty good to do a series and wrap it up. But you're right. Now, if Butcher himself isn't completely tired of the Dresden world and wants out, if he's not, like, killing them off like Derek Storm, then he can completely come back and write a whole,
like, Derek Storm.
Dresden Earth 256.
I know. But, like, why not, like, George Martin or something, you know?
Because
like,
I don't read shit.
Like,
I don't know.
Novelist.
Because I don't know anybody.
No, Derek Storm. Which is, you know, when Castle got tired of his own character and was like, you know what hasn't been done yet before? For cops. That won't bother me. That won't bore me.
Hey, I didn't say his new muse was any better. I just said that was the first one I could think of where, literally, he's like, I wrote him off because I got bored of writing. I'm like, I don't know what other authors have done it because of that reason.
I literally just lent out those books to someone, too, a little while ago.
The Castle books? Yeah. The Nicky Heath books? Anyways, obviously you got my point, but if Dresden is not, or sorry, if Butcher is not ready, he could go back and write a whole other 20 novels of Mirrorverse.
It's the what if of...
Dresden in the multiverse.
Then the graphic novels would finally be interesting.
By the way, this was
like,
this universe.
There you go, guys. There you go. This is just a multiverse entry where... shit is just slightly weird enough.
I mean, like, obviously going back and forth, this was written in 2013. It's set to be in about 2008. I can understand to a certain degree why Jim Butcher was kind of already too far gone to be placing relevant plot points.
Yes.
At the same time, that's like the perfect opportunity to place relevant plot points. You already know what's supposed to be there.
The foreshadow. Yeah,
and maybe he did, and we just haven't gotten to it yet.
That's true. You're not technically wrong. As of 2026, it hasn't happened.
Pay off.
I may eat crow yet.
And once again, we get the ambiguously just blurred out enough, you know, ID that you can't actually find out anything about Marcone. Oh, sure.
Yeah, exactly.
Show us his driver's license with no relevant information visible, which is actually good. I go back and forth on that. Sometimes I think it's so fun to find out somebody's, like, birth, like, character's birth. And then other times I'm like, yeah, it just pisses me off. For the.
I mean, it's not really that
blurred
out.
You've closed the door.
Somebody was born February 2nd, 1962.
Oh, maybe that was. You could read the birth date on it. Oh, that's right, because I remember being like, oh, hey, Marcone was born in February.
Yeah. It's just
you're
that
right,
his, like, street
you're
says
right,
Sample they... Street on Sample Town. It's like, all right, that's clearly a fake.
Yeah, you're right. Now that I'm looking at it again, I was like, oh, they did give us the birth date
on
it.
We know he lives in Illinois,
62.
In Chicago.
62. Oh, Marcone's the same age as James Marsters. Give or take a few months.
So while they're trying to figure out what's going to happen, because now the monsters are going to come back and we have to do some quick thinking, we do get this humanization moment for Mr. Halligan. We get a name and...
I just realized his driver's license is issued in 2013 and this is set 2008.
I need you, fucking shady guy. We caught your ass. You're going to jail.
Nice catch. That was worth the realization gasp.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Expires in 17. Issued on January 23rd of 2013.
I totally missed that because I know I read it, too, I just didn't make the connection that this was...
I'm using my phone to zoom in because I'm like, I can't read that shit on the...
And does it say brown eyes? Does it say motherfucking brown eyes?
Well, licenses aren't always that great.
He had eyes like the color of money, like it said 100 times.
Old money.
Old money. Old faded green.
Oh, yes.
It does say brown eyes.
It does.
It's probably a fake ID anyways.
That's what I'm thinking now. I'm like, it's one of 100, especially because this one was issued 5 years early. He grabbed his time travel wallet, you fool.
6'2", 198 pounds. Marcone is beefier than I mean, again, here he's drawn as pretty beefy. I could buy the 198 pounds. My normal soccer coach Boderman version of him, I don't think I would put him as quite that bulky. Like, I know he's got muscle, but I wouldn't really put him as bulky. But 100, like, almost 200 pounds?
For all the money in the world, I couldn't guess a man's weight.
Oh, there you go. Wow. Yeah, you're right. There is a lot more.
The whole thing is filled with information.
Now that I actually, like, zoom, it just looked like it was just blurry wiggle lines. I just...
Yeah. I still love that you found that date.
That is...
Good job. Wah, wah.
Oh, my gosh. Whoops. He's got a Class D. What is a Class D?
Drivers.
Yeah. Type org. Does that mean he's an organ donor?
That'd be really funny.
I could see him being an organ donor.
Standard non-commercial license for operating passenger vehicles, SUVs, and small trucks with a gross vehicle weight weighing under 16,000 pounds.
It was a Class 5.
So it's, yeah, I was going to say.
It's Class D? Class 5, yep.
Would be the same as ours. Yep. They just...
They use letters, apparently, in America.
Letters.
Oh, you Americans and your funny little letters.
So, yeah, this is the most hilarious thing that they've put. Yeah, like you say, Sample Town is just in case somebody wants to try and...
Go to Marcone's place?
No, I was going to say in case somebody tries to, like, copy this and make, like, a fake Illinois driver's license based on this graphic novel version.
Sure.
You just give me, like, a Sample Town. Because I'm everything else says Illinois. Why wouldn't they at least put it at, like, Illinois, you know, Chicago,
Illinois?
The most Illinois.
Commonly stolen zip code is 90210. Like, everyone knows that one.
Yes.
But sure, yeah, don't put a fake ID in a graphic novel that no one's going to.
I know. It's funny, though, because we were just talking about that the other day at work, and Jessica talking about, like, the type of, like, counterfeit bills people, like, the really lame counterfeit stuff people will try and pass that literally.
Like the ones that are, like, the God Loves You. Here's my $5 million. Can I have some change, please?
No problem.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, wow.
Everything in the till. Can you come back tomorrow for the rest?
But, yeah. Well, anyways.
So, please, Mr. Dresden, I've seen enough to know you'll do anything to save me. You are such a... I mean, I get you have no other choice, really.
Yeah,
he is literally your only choice, but also I'm like, really, though? Like,
this is, to me, is just a repeat of like, Butters being pumped up when Butters was scared. It's the same sort of situation.
Poco will never die, Marco. Say it with me. Speaking of Castle and, therefore, Nathan Fillion, this expression of Marcone's here when he's saying, this is my city and I take complete. I've come across it a couple times, but recently again come across Cillian in some or many interviews. And he started back in like soap operas and stuff like that or whatever, right? And he's like, again, they always like stay, like at the end of a scene, the camera just like sits on your face for like 20 minutes before, you know, and he's always like, I never really know it to you. And I, whatever director, producer, somebody that was. And he's like, he gave me some of like the best acting advice ever. And he's like, oh, he's like, anytime, he's like, there's three things. And it does work better if you look at it because he does the facial expressions, which you guys aren't getting over audio. But basically, he's like, there's three things. He's like, there's the, did I leave the stove on? I did leave the stove on. No, I turned it off. And he's like, and so he just makes like these slight different like facial expressions. And he's like, and that's what you do. And it's so funny because the expressions he makes are so perfect for the end of a soap opera. He's like, did I leave the stove on? I did leave it on. No, I turned it off. And it's just this dramatic, just this way of Marcone right here kind of turned away from, I'm just getting like that dramatic, like soap opera. This is my town. I'm responsible. like, did you leave the stove on, Marcone? Oh, and then snotty guy snots everywhere for a while.
So much snot.
The only thing I'll have going for Bad Santa and all this is, yeah, I mean, you've literally got Marcone going around being like, fucking Chicago is my fucking town. And Harry's going around like, fucking Chicago is my town. And this guy's being like, I've been saying the whole time Chicago is mine.
Fuckers don't listen. Yeah. So I'm going to say, it's even funny that he picks again, because again, Harry, as a magical guy, and oh, I don't know, a couple of books ago now,
I've
made
been leaving my magic pheromones all over this town, okay, and you didn't say anything.
But like we've noted before, as the whole problem with Bianca's party, anybody who's on the council has a certain amount of authority to speak for the whole council as such. But even aside from that, he was made a warden, which is definitely upholding the laws. And Bad Santa didn't give a shit about Harry running around protecting this town. But as soon as Marcone is like, no, I'm protecting it, and you have to like pay me to do now, he's like, because I'm like, really? He could have.
Assuming that's his motivation.
We don't know that. We're just saying that because it's based off of the book where it happened to Marcone. Yeah.
And I don't think that's the case. I think it's incidental.
I don't think it's the case either. It's just the only motivation we possibly have, so I'm going with it for something. Yeah. But I don't actually think it is. I think this guy just woke up from a coma yesterday and said, I'm going to fuck him all up.
I think it definitely explains why Marcone is there, is because we're trying to show what he's like as the new just Baron. Like,
yesterday he stumbled across a golem and was like, let's have fun.
We didn't go there. It wasn't even suggested by him, really.
I just feel the way he's talking about, because Bad Santa does say this is my town or whatever. But anyways, he's spent so long. He's just more surprised
that, why aren't you guys listening to me? If you think this is like good for the city, then you should be listening to me.
Like, book a meeting, bro. We both have offices.
But it's such like a warren of things down there that it's literally just, you know, he's been spending like a few decades trying to get out of Undertown and find
his. He's just been lost this whole time.
He just finally made it to, okay, now I can start grabbing people and doing shit. He's like, I just come back
before I lose the exit again. Yeah.
So Molly, Harry sort of does his sort of quintessential, I have a plan, but I'm not really going to tell everybody what it is, but I'm going to give you brief instructions. So...
We don't have time for this, Molly. Just do it. Ugh, so annoying.
Cross the line right here. Make sure he hits his mark.
I'm not going to tell you why, but this is where it has to be. And
just don't worry about the details. I just need your pretty little head to be focused on this. All you have to do is just...
It's vague and exciting.
Woo!
Marco gets a hair plucked. Yeah.
Do his eyes.
But then we get this example because, I do love how the graphic, and this is not the only graphic novel that it uses the sound effect of kathoom instead of kaboom. I kind of enjoy kathoom.
It's like a heavier, meatier thing. Yeah, it gives you more of that bass thump, right, than the kaboom.
It's just a different feel to it, and I like it.
Well, I just like how confident they are that as soon as they switch this out, even Harry, like, oh, yeah, obviously, because nobody goes off to continue trying to run after this thing or stop. They all stop and start having
conversations. He'll come back to us.
Yeah, they're like, we'll just sit here and chit-chat and give you some exposition. And literally, they just stand and wait for this thing to crash back through the wall like the Kool-Aid Man.
And they were right.
Obviously, yeah. I'm like, oh, that's why they didn't. They're like, no. We got this.
It doesn't seem like too much of time. Basically, they just like do a pep talk and be like, okay, what should we do? Stand there. Do that. Okay, there we go.
I disagree. It seems a little unearned, but hey, goblins are new.
I was just going to say, for me, even if I just would think that exactly in this thing where it's going, you just all would have been running after him, you know, even like you, Marcone would have been back there switching his license. You'd be like, yeah, come on, and still like running down but no, they're all just, whether it took like 30 seconds,
this is the
5 minutes.
Perfect battleground. Why would we leave? There's spiders over there.
No, Harry fried all the spiders. Oh, I guess there should be more, I'm sure. But yeah. Yes, point being is they don't have to go anywhere. It comes back. And despite setting up and you stand there and you do this, Harry is still taken completely by surprise and knocked off his foot when this thing comes crashing back through the wall.
He's
like the
strong.
Kool-Aid
man.
Okay, so the golem does go through for the illusion, and then Harry doesn't quite realize that there was a second illusion. But the look of his devastation where he drops to his knees. I just had to screenshot that, put that in my notes, because he's so devastated. No, Marcone!
Right.
We could have had something.
I just realized how much I loved you.
Humiliating. A gut shot. Like, wow, okay.
Yeah. It's just so
literally
brought to
Harry, stop moaning over your would-be boyfriend and fucking save the world. Like I'm buying you time for.
Oh, wait a minute.
Oh, Harry.
I just laughed. I loved it so much.
Like, you won't get another chance. Apparently, you'll get like 10.
Is that like Molly calling him boss?
Yeah, I think so.
That's so weird. For crying out loud, boss. That's just like, I don't know. That's weird to me.
So I did have to take a little bit of a look back to see if like there was any indication in the earlier things when he's telling her, okay, over here is where I need you to make sure that he makes it past this point. Mm-hmm. And it's not, like, there's only one sort of panel that may or may not indicate that he is kind of looking up. It is kind of the wrong direction, but so I guess you can't give too much of an indication that Harry has an idea that he's going to look up and bust something in the ceiling.
Oh.
It's...
It doesn't give away the yes.
Yeah,
no.
It's not quite enough.
No.
I did go back and check. Is there indications that I just missed? Nope. Not really.
Nope. No foreshadowing. No tip off. No. I don't. The other thing, sorry, that I was kind of caught on there was you saying it sounds weird for crying out. I mean, the for crying out loud maybe, but she calls him boss a lot.
Does she? I thought that was just a Bob thing.
No. Molly does do it too. She does refer to him as like, okay, boss.
Maybe. Mm. In my head, it was just Bob.
Okay, because I was like, why does that say? I'm like, yeah, the for crying out loud, maybe be slightly more. But yeah, no, she does sometimes say, like, you got a boss and this and that, too. So I don't think that's as bad. But anyways, oh my God. Oh my God. Marcone's not dead, guys.
Like, immediately, like, the next page. Like, Harry, could you maybe just relax for, like, a second?
Like, you can stand around for 10 minutes waiting to see if the golem's going to come back. But as soon as Marcone is injured, right? You're like, oh, no, he's not going to die
now. And he's like, oh, it's all over now. Like, Jesus.
I'm just going to lay down and die with him.
Yeah.
Crack.
Literally so Romeo-coded. So, I'm just gonna kill myself now. What's even the point?
I did like when Harry does try to use the running water, because I do, by the time it's used again, I always forget that it's a thing.
This thing, the running water, grounds out magic.
But it doesn't work in this case, which is like, okay, well, we can't reuse that.
Oh, fortunately, it's not actually the same. What
we did
fuck?
Set up. Making Mr. Halligan just a little bit braver, so he wants to.
Okay, fine. You guys are all trying to save me. I guess I'll try and save you.
I drank
like
the juice.
Second.
Let me try.
He's so tough. Nothing can, but you can just like shove your hand right into him. I don't know, man. Magical shit is weird. Like literally, they've been like hammering at this thing and nothing, but now he can. I don't know.
Well, and you can't give Marcone the final destruction of the golem either by letting him just throw the has to be Harry to be like, oh, I gotta make a calculated risk on how long it takes to shove it into the golem to actually properly destroy it. Has to be Harry that does it.
Oh. But like picking up a grenade is so dumb. And also, yeah, like Marcone could have just handed it to him or anything like that, but instead he pulls the pin, he throws it, then Harry picks it up, and then Harry slams it inside the golem, and then he dives. I'm like, oh my gosh. And all the time, Harry's like, time seemed to speed up. I'm like, really?
And it lived. Imagining.
Kasplorch.
Or they lived, rather.
Yeah, gross.
Albeit a little bit slimy.
Yeah, clay is not supposed to be slimy.
Well, I think they described it as more of a mucus, so I still assume that because it's red that it's
but
probably
wet
body
clay.
Parts.
If you blew it up and it was like hot,
oh, I guess
then it would go more like pottery, right?
Here it is. Here's Harry clutching the boy.
Yeah,
it's gonna be okay. Let's all hold hands now. Yeah. Sim kumbaya.
I'm sorry.
Does just like washes his hands and the water flow coming from the dirty ceiling.
Yeah,
it's fine.
Yeah, but does Molly also not look vaguely like crazy Harley Quinn here?
Yeah, she does look very... Yeah. She's had a day, okay?
I was going to say, but yeah, it looks more like the demented, like, as opposed to just like... Ugh. Like the picture before, yeah, she looks muddy, dirty. That one, it just looks like the crazy's coming out.
Yeah, it's hard to sort of draw people in mucus.
Well, she's not even particular. It's not the mucus. It's the big eyes and the frantic grin that just... I don't know.
But yes, Harry's going to brew up a potion for him, apparently. Yeah. Make him better. Which he could have also just told Marcone immediately as well.
Right.
The other thing I would like to point out. So yeah, they come out and Murphy's all there and they're... What does Marcone say to her? Don't worry, Dresden. I'll be riding with him. He'll be safe. And Marcone says...
Oh, the shake the hand thing, but I know you're not going to accept it?
No, right before that.
Oh, or a pleasure to see you?
Yes, as well, Lieutenant.
So it's the wrong...
As name. Always.
So, well...
That would be Sergeant Murphy.
I think that's a dig.
Could be that dig, yeah?
I don't know. It's probably wrong, but, you know.
I don't think so, because...
Well, and the fact that they're also in hazmat suits for the guys loading them into the...
Yeah, they're all walking around.
I'm just
going
to get in. It's fine.
Yeah.
She's like, I'll ride with him. I don't think it's a dig because he has given the dig by specifically addressing her as Sergeant Murphy in the books.
Yeah.
He doesn't. So I think, just again, this is just a
overlooked penny.
10 years later that, yeah, she was.
We have to have the quintessential guilt moment for Harry as well, that he couldn't save the other two people and he only saved one person, even though one of them wasn't even on his radar in the first place. How are you supposed to save somebody that you didn't even know was being attacked in the first place? And then you were actively somewhere else when the other one happened.
You're the warden. You're supposed to be stopping these.
It's just unnecessary guilt. It's like,
That's Harry for
you. I should. Where's the gatekeeper to pop up and tell him about every random golem that's going to wander through his city? And, you know, but yeah.
A little bit of a weird one.
A little bit of a weird one.
Do we have any final thoughts on this one?
I don't like it, honestly. It's boring. It's really boring. I did not like having to read this two or three times just for this.
Yeah.
It's really boring.
I had to convince myself to be okay with it. And that was with the knowing, like, the...
Yeah.
This was a Marvel artist.
I'm annoyed it took us three episodes to talk about it, honestly. Like, there's nothing happened.
Yeah. True, okay. But obviously it was less the plot points that we were
there. This is about the only one that we can really rip apart
because
I mean, I don't know what happened. Jim Butcher, I couldn't find an interview about it or anything like that. I think it literally was somebody just came and offered him to do, if not all of the graphic novels, some of them, and was like, hey, you get to do three now. And he's just like, fuck, where am I going to throw those in? He's like, oh, well, nothing really happened between this book and this book. Let's just throw a short story graphic novel in there.
Yeah, maybe this was another one of his, like, bets or something like that. You can't write a book based off, like, Pokemon characters. And, you know, so maybe somebody was like, you can't just have some crazy bad Santa pop about or the sewers. And he's like, oh, yes, I can. And case, brilliant. That is a great
totally
job
worked,
for... But, yes, yeah, like you say, plot-wise,
for overarching plot, this one does not matter to the rest of the story, at least yet, okay? As of recording.
Yep, that we've seen, but...
Oh, well. But, yes, if you just want some fun action, it is at least that. If you just want some romantic Harry,
I was gonna say, if you just want some, if you just want some good, because again,
some fodder for the
they don't even get a lot of one on one time in the book. So, yeah, Molly's there, but you're right, this is...
Cock block.
Right. Just because you can't have it, you know, hit too soon. You gotta spread it out.
This is the book for subtext.
That's right. Yeah. So there you go. Yeah, they still need to chaperone just so we could drag it out a little longer.
Nice. Chaperone. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
This concludes our episode 19.3, Kathoom! Thank you for listening. You can find us online at freeflowrambling.com and macanellis.ca. There we have links to our other podcasts, social media, and other fun tidbits. Please subscribe if you like what you're hearing, and please consider supporting us through Patreon to keep the magic alive and to see more content. We are Free Flow Rambling. Conjure by it at your own risk.